Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Michael Lauer, and we have a very special show today. Later on, we're visiting with Christopher Cunney, the managing partner and technology strategist, Infinite Options Technology Consulting Group, and Georgia Hymns chapter president. But first, we have with us in the studio today, director of sales with ACR2 Solutions Incorporated, Ms. Deborah Steen. How are you doing, Deborah?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Well, let's start off today by telling the folks at home what ACR2 Solutions is doing for folks.
ACR2 is automated compliance reporting for HIPAA solutions for both small practices, hospitals, and now all the business associates that are sending, receiving, transmitting, or maintaining PHI.
So for the folks at home, and myself included, who don't know what all that stands for, put it in layman terms for us.
Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act is the main thing that they're focusing on. And from that, they're supposed to be completing risk assessments and following the laws that as they're written.
So you guys help practices make sure that my information doesn't get out to people, right?
We're doing our best.
So what's a typical client look like for you?
Well, we have small practices, so you might have a 1-2 doctor practice that is having a hard time with it because of the finances, looking at it as a financial obligation. But when you look at the fines that are facing them for willful neglect, it's $1.5 million. I mean, when you look at a basic risk assessment, you can have the basic portion for $995 or, you know, all the different elements that's required for like $3,000. Here in Georgia, they have a special tax incentive. I can have them contact my source here. And so you get a tax credit up to $1,100, and that helps pay for the software and the training of your staff. So it's a nice thing. And then we've got tax code 179 that can help them purchase the systems.
So pay now or pay later, right?
Pay a lot later.
Right.
a lot of money.
Right. Well, and credibility.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, when I'm going to a doctor, I want to make sure that my stuff is secure. I don't want to have to go through someone having my identity, and now I've got to prove who I am and that I didn't do those charges or that those are not my diagnosis, those types of things. We've actually had cases where people have become people, had hip replacements from other countries, came over here and got them done after they stole the identity, and then transfer the records back to the original person. Now she's got to prove she didn't have a hip replacement. So those kind of things are already going on. But when you look at, you know, what people are trying to steal, it's just about everything. They can wipe out your bank accounts. So it's, you know, a major thing if you look at what happened to the Target. I mean, so Target, I say don't be a Target like Target, okay?
So does this software just work for medical companies, or is it kind of reach further than that?
Well, we work with the medical market, plus we work with their business associates. So anybody that's maintaining, transmitting, or sending, receiving, transmitting, or maintaining PHI.
And what does PHI stand for?
Patient health information.
Gotcha. So why does this matter? What's the drawback here?
Well, the drawback is you've got lots of hackers out there and I guess the solution is to meet the guidelines of the laws that are written. And they were written back in, I think it was originally in 96. And then there was stronger ones that came out in like 2003. And then you had some other ones that came out with the meaningful use requirements under the EHR incentives that require risk assessments and many different areas. And then came the omnibus rule because nobody was paying attention. And that's where the hefty fines came in, and that's where they started including the business associates, anybody that sends, receives, transmits, maintains PHI, that they have to do a risk assessment. Because what good is it if you're a medical entity and you're giving the information to a billing company or an IT vendor, an EHR vendor, a cloud solution that is not compliant? You know, so the law took it a step further, and they said you've got to, you know, have the agreement with them, and then they need to supply you with reasonable assurance of compliance. So if I'm the entity that's, you know, the covered entity, and I'm giving the PHI to a business associate, I'm going to say, show me your HIPAA risk assessment, because there's lots of calculations in there that are looking at environments within the network. Is it really secure?
So I'm sure different information's has different regulations for patients. Is there different EPHI that's subject to different kind of rules and security?
Well, under security, you've got the EPHI more so.
Okay. So
because you've got, you know, it's going to be right. Residing in different places, where PHI might just be paper. You know, EPHI is going to be in a printer, a fax machine, and in different solutions like the EHR's software or the billing company's software. So it's out there everywhere.
So right now, are doctors coming to you saying, hey, I need this technology, or are you kind of going after them saying, hey, you know, this could really help your business?
Well, where I've had the most success is with different organizations like the MGMA. I have a lot of the officers that are part of those organizations. I'm still having a hard time with, like, the office managers that are just coming to the meetings, but the officers understand the law. The smaller practices are still having a hard time. The doctors are trying to figure out when this law came into effect. So the smaller practices are having the hardest time. And then it always gets down to, you know, the financials. But like I said, there's some special incentives here in Georgia.
So who do you look for in a practice? Are you looking for the doctor? Are you looking for kind of someone that does their books? Who do you kind of need in a practice?
Well, it's, you know, best if I can get to the doctor, because he's the one that's directly liable for the
sure.
fines. But a lot of times I'm dealing with the office managers, which is fine, and then they roll it out to their physicians.
Now, it's kind of hard to get in front of physicians, right? I mean, you go to you go into the office and you say, hey, I want to talk to Dr. So-and-so about this, and they're like, oh, we don't talk to outside people, right?
That's correct. So the other day we did a presentation for the Medical Association of Georgia, and that was for doctors only. And they logged in and they listened to a presentation and, you know, were very overwhelmed with what they heard. So I think we have to belong to more of the organizations that provide for the physicians to get directly to them, again, because it's their liability.
Right. I mean, you're trying to get away for the doctors to come to you, right?
Yes. And to, you know, educate them and make them aware and,
sure.
and get them moving.
So I want to get back on this HIPAA risk assessment. Are they all the same, and how many different areas should a doctor want to cover as far as the HIPAA risk assessment goes?
Well, they're not all the same, but there's checklists out there. There's solutions that are available through HHS and the government websites, but you have to be very careful and read the documentation, because a lot of them are stamped, this does not constitute a risk assessment, you know, or this is not included, the security part is not included in this. You want a thorough and accurate risk assessment. And when you're talking about a risk assessment, to do the calculations that's required would be very hard to do with a checklist, and it would be very time-consuming. What my company does to HIPAA is kind of like what, you know, a TurboTax does to taxes. We bring all the information in, and it's available, and it's, you know, gives it the NIST terminology, you know, or the requirements, and then it puts it into layman's terms, and then we help them move through. Within a risk assessment, you're supposed to know lots of different areas and do different calculations as far as, you know, where's my highest vulnerability? Well, a lot of these calculations are very hard to do on paper.
Sure. So what are some common misconceptions that doctors or practices have when it comes to these HIPAA requirements and that kind of stuff?
Well, the number one is I'm too small and that doesn't apply to me. Number two, I did one a few years ago, so I must be okay. You know, it's really something that they need to be doing a minimum of once a year. And it's required if they're going for meaningful use, which is the requirement under the electronic health records when they're receiving funds from the government. HIPAA risk assessment is required every year. So a lot of them didn't realize that when the systems were rolling out, the EMR vendors, EHR vendors said, we meet meaningful use and we're HIPAA compliant. Well, what they meant was, we meet meaningful use and we're HIPAA compliant, not you. But there was a core item that they should have addressed, and that was the HIPAA risk assessment. So many of them attested to meaningful use without completing the risk assessment. So I can say they could plead possible temporary insanity on that one. And on stage two, there a lot of them are doing stage one, stage two, and then there's stage three. But under stage two, it gets much more detailed onto the security side. And if they come in and happen to audit you under the meaningful use, they will take your money back. And if they see you didn't complete it on stage two, they're probably going to look back on stage one, and now you've lost that money also. So plus, you know, in the way the law would look at it is you've actually committed fraud.
So you need to do it, and you need to do it right.
That's correct.
So how important is it for providers to ensure that their business associates have conducted their own privacy and risk assessment?
It's very important because they're liable for them and at 1.5. So you have a business associate agreement that was created years ago, and a lot of those came in from the business associates to the covered entities. And so they would just sign them. And now it's kind of reversed because I'm now liable for you as the covered entity, the practice hospital. You're my business associate because I'm giving you the PHI. You send, receive, transmit, maintain PHI. You're my business associate. You need to sign and provide me a reasonable assurance of compliance and use my BA instead.
And what are some best practices that a covered entity could do to help pass their audit?
Complete an accurate risk assessment would be now.
So it starts there.
It really starts there. As far as an audit, they need to, excuse me.
You're right.
They need to do their initial baseline risk assessment. They're going to have to implement policies. They're going to have to assess what they've done. They have to have awareness training. In our system, we have an automated training class that goes out. It's about an hour presentation, and then you take a test. So for my clients here in Georgia, the test range to pass is 70 to 100. They're saying, I want 100 because, number one, they make more money on it, plus, number two, they want their people to know what the rules are. Then you've got to keep updating your risk assessment and then making sure that all your business associates are compliant. Then you've got all their paperwork. Then you do some more updates, and just it's a cycle.
It sounds like this is a service that any practice or doctor's office definitely needs to take advantage of. You can't be the only ones out there that are doing this. What are some things that you're doing to kind of differentiate yourself in the marketplace?
Well, what we do differently is we have a calculation engine within our software, and we do scanning. So we're looking at, I think their current vulnerabilities out in the market are about 68,000. So we're downloading those vulnerabilities, and we're searching your network for, areas that are not compliant. We have the online training. A lot of people do have that. But we actually meet the 9 requirements as it's required. And a lot of that is hard for most softwares.
So you actually look for weak points in what they're doing that could cause them to not be compliant. You actually do some of the work for them. Instead of just plugging their stuff in, you kind of meet them?
We do a hand-holding approach.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, so the core item, we start out, and like at the end of the last year, we had hundreds of meaningful use requirements. Now, I don't know when they actually attested, but we did hundreds of them, and it would take about an hour to 2 hours, depending on the size of the practice.
Well, Deborah, where can folks go to learn more about ACR2 Solutions?
They can go to ACR2Solutions.com. They can call me directly at 404-625-2345, and my email address is Deborah.S@ACR2Solutions.com, and the number, that 2 is a number 2. Again, Deborah.S@ACR2Solutions.com.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
All right, be great.
We have with us next here on Atlanta Business Radio, Mr. Christopher Cooney. How are you doing, Christopher?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So explain to me a little bit about Infinite Options first, and then we'll kind of go into HIMSS.
Sure. Infinite Options Technology Consulting Group is a healthcare IT management consulting firm, and we work with a wide variety of organizations to assist them with their technology needs. In fact, Acer2 is one of our partners. We assist in them in leveraging their technologies to do risk assessments, as well as we assist our clients with the remediation process. We also work with our clients to conduct overall IT assessments and develop strategic plans around technology. We assist them with the implementation of that technology. And then we provide consulting services, thought leadership, and industry advisory services to technology firms across the country.
So do you guys work directly with doctors or more with the vendors that approach the doctors and making sure that their stuff's working correctly? What's the
We
mix?
Work with really all sections of the industry, both on the provider side, payers, government entities, education institutions, and Fortune 500 and startup companies.
So you don't just do medical?
Most of our work is focused around healthcare and life sciences, but it's focused around the technologies associated with that industry. So it's things like EHRs, electronic health records. It's security software. It's mobile health technologies. It's business analytics. It is, again, strategy work that we do, traditional business consulting, but we do it across the board.
So you guys kind of, like you said, you do more of a consulting kind of thing where mm-hmm. you help them achieve a goal based on what you guys provide kind of thing?
So we think of ourselves as problem solvers. So we go in and we try to understand and analyze a customer's current situation. And we then make recommendations on how to remediate those issues. But we're not a traditional consulting firm in that we just give you a report and walk away. We then give you a set of strategies and initiatives that we will assist you in implementing. So we have, again, partners like Acer 2 and others that we can come in and leverage their solutions to assist us in the remediation effort.
So how did Infinite Options come about? You're a managing partner there. Did you help build it, or did you come in and became a partner? How did that work?
I actually helped build it and start the company almost a decade ago. And the company has evolved from a traditional consulting firm with now a very strong focus around healthcare IT and life sciences. And my background is over almost 30 years in the IT industry, about half of that in healthcare, and then most recently serving as a chief information officer for a large integrated delivery network within the Metro Atlanta area. And then over the past 5 years or so, I've been really focused on, again, the healthcare vertical, specifically in the areas of privacy and security and compliance, IT strategy, and implementation services. And just you had asked the previous guest earlier, you know, why is it important for organizations to consider a HIPAA assessment? Well, in a previous life when I was a CIO for this system, we were the very first healthcare organization in the country to go through a HIPAA audit. And I can tell you, it is not a very comfortable process, and it's a very expensive process to have to manage. And even though we were the first and we were being assessed not because of necessarily a breach, we did have to remediate quite a bit. And that remediation was unbudgeted and cost the organization funds that were not originally allocated towards IT security. Not to mention the reputation of the organization is now, in question and because of the security of the data. And then projects that were currently underway were put on hold to focus on this very important compliance issue. And so part of the reason why, I've built a relationship with an organization like Acer 2 is because I, again, had experienced that, but also recognized the importance of ensuring that now that we are starting to adopt electronic health records and automation in healthcare, the vulnerabilities that exist and the impact that they can have on an organization and the patients that they take care of.
Sure. So describe the work that you guys do for Acer 2.
So we are, again, a strategic partner of theirs. We, as a consulting practice, we go into healthcare organizations and covered entities and business associates and assist them with their risk assessment. So we will facilitate that process for them using the Acer 2 technology. And then that technology allows us to identify where those gaps are within the customer's environment, whether it's technology gaps, process and procedure gaps, training, et cetera. And then we make recommendations based on those gaps and then assist them in remediating those issues.
So I want to shift gears here and talk about the Georgia chapter of HIMSS. That's H-I-M-S-S. You are the chapter president, right?
Well, as of July 1st, I am now the past president.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I served as president this past year, and I enjoyed my tenure there, but now I serve as past president. So Chip Strohschneider is the current president for the chapter, but I still play a very active role on the board.
I'm sure you're still passing the torch and getting him caught up and making sure he's all up to speed on it and stuff too, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. Chip has been a long-time member of the chapter and is definitely moving forward the initiatives that myself and others have put in place to bring greater exposure to healthcare IT, to our members, to our business associates, and to the community at large. As you know, healthcare is becoming such an integral part of what happens in each and everyone's lives today. I mean, all of us can probably have a story of a loved one or a friend that's are currently dealing with some sort of healthcare challenge. And technology now assists us in being an advocate and a supporter of that individual as they go through the care process. Not to mention, it helps to drive cost, increase greater availability to information, and holds, quite honestly, the clinicians more accountable for the delivery of care now as well.
Sure. So for the people who don't know what HIMSS is all about, give us what it stands for and the mission and purpose.
Sure. So HIMSS stands for Healthcare Information Management Systems Society. It is an organization well over 50,000 plus members across the U.S. and internationally. And our focus is to advocate for the adoption of electronic technologies within the care environment. We are always an advocate for laws and procedures that help to support that adoption as well. And so the organization is made up of, again, a cross-section of providers, payers, technology companies, government agencies. You name it, you know, everyone now is in healthcare these days, from UPS to, you know, AT&T to, you know, ourselves as industry leaders. And we all need to understand the impact of these technologies, both from a privacy and security perspective, as well as from just the ability to provide better care to the patient.
So is this something that someone can become a member of?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very simple process. At the local level, we have chapters across the country. Specifically here in Georgia, you can go to our website, which is www.georgiahims.org, and you can follow the tabs for membership, or you can go to the national chapter's website, which is himss.org, and there is information around how to join as a national member as well.
So is it something that you join as an individual, or can a company organization join and give it all to their employees? How does that work?
Well, they have a number of different programs. There are programs at the individual membership level. There are affiliate programs. If, for example, if you're a college or a university, they have programs specifically for students. They have programs and sponsorships for corporations. You can actually become a corporate sponsor at the national and local level. And you can actually be a legislator and have sponsorship there as well. And then there are affiliate programs that allow other associations to be aligned with HIMSS as well, because in this industry we have a wide variety of different players that touch technology in some way. And HIMSS has well over, you know, I venture to guess, 200 or 300 or more different associations that are tied to our chapters as well.
So you guys are kind of like an association for associations as well. You kind of have a bunch of people kind of all taking part in this.
Absolutely. We like to think that we're probably the center of the universe as it, states, as it relates to healthcare IT. And we've done quite a bit in this area. And, you know, whether it's the financial side, whether it's, you know, mobility, whether it's business intelligence, whether it's insurance, you know, life sciences, you know,
sure.
Healthcare, it's tied to so many different aspects of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And you know, HIMSS again, HIMSS tries to, you know, tie in all of those organizations and make sense of how those organizations can fully take advantage of these emerging technologies. Not to mention the rules and regulations that, in many cases, don't keep up with the advancements in technology. For example, you look at what's happening in mobile health and telehealth, and some of the challenges that are presented due to the lack of legislation that will allow, for example, physicians to receive reimbursement for certain care that they can deliver in a telehealth environment. And so we advocate for ways to enhance those policies, as well as when you talk about HIPAA and privacy rules. Each state, you know, mandates certain levels of privacy from state to state, and there are challenges in, you know, being able to share information, even if you have the technology to do it, because the laws won't allow you to do it in some cases. So it's not because of lack of technology. It's because the rules prevent you from getting access to that information. And shame on us if, you know, God forbid, I'm in another state or another country and I get hurt and my information is available and they can't get it because the law says you can't see it.
Right.
Yeah, and so we do.
It's counterproductive.
It's very counterproductive. So we're not lobbyists, but we do advocate for smarter rules, smarter legislation that supports the adoption of these technologies.
Sure, sure. So what are some things, maybe some events that HIMSS is doing to help provide value for members and sponsors and that kind of stuff?
Well, again, there's a wide variety. We just recently had a roundtable discussion with some of the local CIOs. Which we talked about business intelligence and the integration of data across multiple systems. We have a healthcare IT trade fair in the fall where we bring out well over 500 plus individuals across the region to talk about various topics around healthcare IT. We have a nursing informatics conference each year where we specifically target the clinical community and their use of technology in this space. We partner with other organizations like HFMA and AHIMA and GHE to support their members in understanding what's happening in technology. And then we have a national conference that brings people literally from across the world to places like New Orleans, Vegas, Atlanta, it's been here before, and others to talk about the various challenges and initiatives that are happening in the industry. And that conference brings out well over, you know, 40,000 plus individuals, as
sure.
well as, you know, several thousand vendors who are presenting innovative technology for the space.
You know, we go to a lot of trade shows and conferences, and we find that it's tough, and I can only imagine it's even tougher in this you know, life sciences and medical space, to have sponsors and vendors get value from being there while still giving value to attendees and not, you know, taking them away from maybe an educational experience where they can be getting some CMEs and that kind of stuff. How do you balance that with your events?
Well, you know, for example, with our healthcare IT trade fair, one of the things that we've done that's really unique is we created an environment that allows the vendors to be in the same basically geographic vicinity as the thought leadership that's taking place. And so we kind of merged the vendor and the education segments together. And so what's great about that is, one, the vendors can get educated. They're not off in a, you know, exhibit hall somewhere not understanding what's happening in the industry. The providers and individuals who are trying to get educated also get the opportunity during the breaks and transitional periods to walk around and talk to the vendors while that's happening. And we really encourage, you know, that kind of collaboration that takes place between the two, because at the end of the day, we depend on the technology in order to help us deliver better care. And it's important for us to understand what these vendors can do. And I am an evangelist of this and trying to make our vendors our strategic partners. They are in the business of helping us take care of people's lives through the use of technology, and so we shouldn't look at them as kind of an outsider. We need to figure out how to integrate them into the delivery of care.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about providing a win-win for the attendees and for the sponsors and exhibitors, and it's a tough act to balance. Sounds like you guys are doing a good job of it, though. It's awesome stuff.
Absolutely. We've been doing it for this particular conference for over 8 years, and it's grown each year, and we continue to get very positive feedback from both the vendor community and the provider community that it's a valuable event.
I'm sure you're always looking for new ways to do it, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've had folks like our lieutenant governor and other national speakers come in and express their commitment to sure. What we're doing as well.
Now, I always like to ask this question of an association-type platform. How has HIMSS helped your company, Infinite Options, or vice versa? How has that relationship formed with HIMSS and Infinite Options?
Well, I think it's been a great experience for me personally. Having served as president of the chapter, it's given me the opportunity to have a platform where I can not only provide and drive the mission of HIMSS, but also create a platform where I can talk about my company. And it gives me the ability to work very closely with individuals across the healthcare community. Again, individuals that sit on our board, for example, come from a wide variety of provider organizations as well as technology companies, and over time I've done business with some of those organizations, as well as for example just sitting here doing this radio interview is an example of how that gives me a broader voice within our community as well too, and obviously supporting HIMSS as a chapter leader both at a local level and now at a national level, which I serve on a committee at a national level. It gives me a broader perspective of what's going on in the community as well. And a great example of that is I had the opportunity here recently to spend some time with Anish Chopra, who was our former chief technology officer for the United States of America, and spent quite a bit of time talking not only about what he's doing, but talking about what I'm doing, and that came primarily as of my relationship with him. So it's definitely been a very positive and beneficial activity for me to be involved in. And as I consult with clients as well, especially those who are emerging technology companies and Fortune 500 companies, one of the first things I tell them to do is to get involved in HIMSS. It is a platform where you get the opportunity to interact with decision makers in healthcare.
Just works.
Absolutely.
So where can folks go to learn more about Infinite Options and HIMSS?
Sure. At a local level for HIMSS, you can reach us at www.gahimss.org. At a national level at himss.org. And then for Infinite Options, you can reach us at 404-276-0738 or at our website at iotechconsulting.com.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's all time we have for today. I'm Michael Lauer. We'll catch you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.